what I'm saying in love and out of concern, okay? I shared these things with Bishop on Monday morning in just a casual passing meeting standing in the middle of a cow pasture. And he texted me within an hour and said, you need to say those things from the pulpit the first chance you get. Well, that'd be tonight. So, I'm here under burden of the Holy Ghost and direction of the bishop. It doesn't happen very often. Not very often does he say, you need to say this. Here we are. I'm going to go back to my childhood for a second. Most of you know I was raised in a very backwards home. I say backwards in the sense that I was raised in a home with no internet, no TV, nothing but radio. And that today's world, that's a shock because we've all got internet at our fingertips and we have screens and devices in our homes. And I mean, it's crazy to see where things are gone. And so as a child growing up, I was really limited in my entertainment. I had a bicycle. That was my entertainment. And I rode that thing. That thing was a tank. That thing was a tractor. That thing was a semi-truck. That thing was whatever you wanted it to be in your mind. That's what it became because that's what you had. And you had an imagination and you ran and you played and you rode. And as I got into my teens, I remember I rode that bike. That bike became my transportation. And at 15 years old, the three-mile ride into town down a gravel road to the nearest grocery store or convenience store, that bike was my life. I loved that bike. And I remember walking past it in the barn at about 16 and a half after I had bought my first truck, and I thought, wow, that thing's useless to me anymore. And then I started gaining weight because I wasn't riding my bike 7 miles a day, 8 miles a day. But that it shaped me, and so there were things when it got dark outside, you had to go inside. There was no lights out where I lived. You just went inside, and you would play with cars, play with trucks. You would read books. We were encouraged to read books, and these are the things that I began to share with Bishop, and he had shared some things with me about his own childhood and the things that were lacking in his own upbringing. As things begin to transition, and I moved out of my parents' home sometime in about 2001, I remember the introduction of a screen into my house for the first time. Now, the first computer I ever was around in my home was like an IBM 386 or 326. It was running DOS. It had a black screen with orange lettering on it when you typed. I mean, it was crazy. I still don't know how we used it or what we even used. It just sat there. And we would just plunk around on it. It was something that was more of a toy than anything. I don't know if it even worked. Had those big old like 6-inch floppy disk, you know, and you'd stick that thing in there and try to read it. And that was like my exposure to technology. I still remember in about 1998 when I finally convinced my parents to get AOL dial-up in the house. And, you know, how long that took just to download an email, whatever that was in 1998. I mean, it was so limited. But all those things shaped who I am today. They've helped me to become who I am today. As a teenage boy, because there was no TV, gaming console, phone, anything else in my house, I read. I read book after book after book. Every book series I could get my hands on, I see some of the heads going like this because you identify with that. I read book series. I read things, read the Bible, and just read, and I gained knowledge. I gained understanding. I gained a vocabulary. I learned how to talk because I read. And then in about 2001, I remember I had my own house, and so I got it. You know, I got a screen. Because I've been deprived my entire life. And I bought myself an Xbox. And I got myself a DVD player. And the world was going to change. And I would come home from work at night and I'd plop myself down in front of that thing and I'd watch it for hours. because I could. It became the entertainment. There wasn't a book in my house. Was raised in a home that had bookshelves everywhere. If you were bored, Mama said, go to the bookshelf and get a book. Go read it. Fast forward almost 20 years later, and I carry a screen with me everywhere I go. I spend a lot of time at work on a computer. I have a Microsoft Surface that is given to me by my company. I spend a lot of time on that. I work on it. I do things on it. But the majority of my time in entertainment is spent right here. This is it. Can you believe that people are giving these to 6 and 7 and 8 year olds now? Free reign. It's a dangerous, slippery slope. You see, this has replaced this I was talking to somebody the other day about screens, and I was joking around with them. They were talking about how they were watching a football game. I said, what, on your new 85-inch? And they said, how did you know? And I said, it's a friend of mine. I said, the Holy Ghost told me. He said, no, he didn't. I mean, they're getting bigger and more clear and more colorful. And nothing against them. I have a clear, nice, clean screen in my house. I enjoy streaming things on it. I love this. This thing right here is the coolest thing ever. I probably spend way too much time on this thing, but it's so easy. You know what else is easy? Giving this to my kids. This device right here has become a stumbling block to the next generation. My wife and I are working with a man right now who's 69 years old. He still has a flip phone. That's all he has is a flip phone. He said, my grandkids, my wife, everybody tries to buy me one of those things. I don't want anything to do with that. He still flips it open and puts it on speakerphone. And he talks. He can get text, but he doesn't text because it takes 20 minutes to type a text. Anybody remember those days? And he's just, at his age, he's choosing to stay in a simpler life. That both frustrates me. It both frustrates me, and I'm also a little bit jealous. He was showing my wife the other day that he's a woodworker. He makes all these bowls. He's got a lathe, and he makes bowls, and he makes cutting boards. He makes all this stuff. And where do you find the time to do that? He doesn't have one of these. He comes home and goes to his wood shop and works. I come home and I sit down on my couch and I get on this. Our children need our oversight and encouragement to put away devices. Now, they need to know them. They need to understand them. The future is, if you think this is crazy now, I don't know where we're going. I don't know where we're going to be at when my kids are 15 years old. When my kids are going into high school, and I want them to learn technology. It's important. It's in the workplace. What I'm talking about tonight is balance. The thing that Bishop and I talked about on Monday was the need for we as parents, grandparents, to encourage our children to take devices away from our kids. It's really easy. I'm saying this as a parent. I fall into this trap, so I'm not standing here holier than thou tonight. I'm sounding an alarm. It's easier in most instances to hand my child this than to hand them that. I'm pointing at a book. Go sit down and read a book or take this. Because once they get this, they don't want that. That's boring. That's not moving. I want this. There's Paw Patrol on here. There's Daniel Tiger on here. All these things that serve as entertainment to them, and and keep them engaged. This is important in their relationship with God, because it's here's why this is important. If you read the Old Testament about the story of Elijah, where did the Bible say that he found the Lord? He found direction. It was in a still, small voice. If all you ever get is busyness and then mom and dad say, go get your Bible, read the Bible, and see what the Lord has to say to you tonight. I can't. So I'm admonishing you tonight. Find a balance. I'm not saying don't have one of these. Find a balance. Somewhere in the middle. Be careful. Be cognizant. I will tell you that we go through seasons in our house where our kids get a lot of screen time. They get too much screen time. We're busy. We got things going on, and that's just what works in that season of time. And we both come to a conclusion at the end of that. All right. We're sobering up. We're going on a dry season. No! Well, you just proved you need it. Boy, it's amazing how the whole atmosphere of the house changes. About 24 to 48 hours, and you're like, wow, maybe we should take that thing back to Costco. Are we on the same page tonight? We all good? This is important. It's also important for the education of your children. Everybody say comprehension. Reading comprehension. If you teach them to read and you put books in their hands instead of devices, they're going to be able to understand the Word of God at a greater level later on. They're going to be able to understand things on their job that they read later on. You know, I was fortunate. I tell my kids, I got one in school and one about, he thinks he's in school. I talked to them about math a lot. I did well in reading, but I hated math. So I despised math until I got to the workforce, and then I was so far behind everyone else, and I had to work and take classes and actually went out on my own to figure out how to do math better. And today I love math. It's a passion of mine. But I put myself at a disadvantage in things in life because I chose to blow something off or I didn't think it was important. And so I encourage my kids when they're up against a difficult thing in education, don't push that aside. For them, the difficulty is going to be moving away from this. For me, I just wanted to work. I didn't want to do math. I just wanted to work a job and make money. For them, it's going to be reading and understanding. One last thing, and then I'm done. Be careful with social media. Be careful. I talked to a man the other day, a customer of mine who's got kids that are in their mid-20s, early 20s, and late teens. He said, if I could tell you one thing, this man isn't saved. He says, if I could tell you one thing to do, he said, do not let your kids have social media. I said, really? Why? He said, we didn't know his parents because we were raised in a different generation. He's almost 60 years old. They're raised in a different generation. He said, we didn't know anything about it. So kids came home from school, hey, mom, dad, can I have a MySpace page? Sure. Can I have an Instagram page? Sure. Can I have a Facebook page? Sure. Can I have Snapchat? Sure. And he said it just exploded. Before we knew it, we didn't even know our kids anymore. Kids didn't even talk to us anymore. And it was like they had all these things going on and all these connections. And we would sit in the living room at night and they were just like, he says, like, I didn't even know what was going on. He said it was a really bad experiment. I thought, that's coming from a guy who doesn't even know God. Has no relationship with him whatsoever. And so I'm cautioning you as parents tonight. I know our youth are in the back room. We made a rule a few weeks ago that when you go to youth class, your phones go over on the in the windowsill. There's no phones in youth class. We need your help enforcing that kind of stuff, parents. This, when we come to church, we come to focus on the Lord, not on what's going on in Instagram, what's going on in Facebook, and what my friends are texting me from school. But let all that stuff, maybe you should just shut it off and keep it in the car. I don't know. If you can't control it, if your kid can't help but look at it, just leave it in the car, leave it home. But these are things that are important for our development. So I'm encouraging you and admonishing in those things tonight. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just encouraging you. Be aware of these things. Be aware of how much time your children are, how much time you are as a family spending in front of entertainment, screens. They're a necessity, but they can also be a stumbling block. It might not be a bad idea to have a net nanny. Depending on the age of your kids, have a net nanny on your internet service at home. These are all things that you've got to be aware of. There's so much at their fingertips. Even I've said before, I've got just a couple of news apps on my phone, and it's amazing to me the stuff that is showing up in news apps nowadays. The stories that they're choosing to publish on mainstream media. Young children have no business looking at that. It's not stuff they should be exposed to at young ages. So be careful, be cognizant of those things. Let's stand together. Let's pray for a moment before we move on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you order our steps. We pray that you direct our paths. We pray in the name of Jesus that you give every parent, every grandparent under the sound of my voice, wisdom and understanding, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus that they draw boundaries for their own homes, that they draw boundaries for their own lives. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let us not be influenced by this world. Let us not be influenced by outside sources, Father, but let us wait upon you for our families. Let us wait upon you for our homes. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to ask Brother Kendrick to come. He's going to share with us for a few moments. When he's done, he's going to turn it to Brother Heiner, who'll close this thing out tonight. Everybody feeling good? See, I told you I'd give that little extra time of shaking hands and fellowship in there so we could.
Praise the Lord. And I'm going to keep going with that. Sorry. Here goes. Because the timing on this was really interesting. An article that my mother shared with me this morning brought all this to mind, and I'll share that some excerpts of that from in a moment. But I'm just going to keep going down this road that Brother Johnstone talked about with social media. I understand the internet. I've built products for the internet. I understand software. I know how to build products. I know how to make money from the internet. I know how to monetize traffic. And I know how these techniques work. And at no time is any of these things like social media, these platforms, Instagram, Facebook, whatever you want to call it, none of these things are inherently evil. You understand? Just want to put that out there right now. But there's a very simple principle that you want to remember, first with yourself, and then think about this with your children. If you are not paying for something on the internet, then you are the product. Think about that. If you are not paying for it, you are the product, and somebody is paying for you. How many people in here have a Facebook subscription? You pay $10 a month to access Facebook? Anybody? No. Okay. Anybody have a Google subscription? Anybody? I'm on Google a lot, right? And I maybe use their Google apps a little bit, but my personal Gmail account, I don't pay for that. It's free. When I go and do a Google search, it's free. Do you have any idea how much it costs Google to give you a search result in the tiny, quick amount of time that it does? I forgot what percentage of the world's population is on Facebook. It's terrifying. It's something like, I don't know, 20, 30, 40%, I think, up there. Anyway, it's a significant, it's in the billions. How do you operate servers that are able to maintain that level of support and all of that cost and everything that's associated with when everybody on there is using it for free. How do you do that? Very simple. You monetize the people that are there. So when you're interacting with those platforms, you are offering yourself up for sale. You are saying that, here, Facebook, you can sell me to, you can sell my eyes, you can sell what I see, you can sell what I'm interested in purchasing, you can sell me to the advertisers on your platform. That's what you're saying. Now, I'm intentionally making that sound a little bit more nefarious than what it really is, right? Because I do want you to be concerned a little bit about yourself, but now then take that one step further. You start allowing your children to interact with these platforms, then the question is do you want to productize your children? Do you want to allow them to turn your children into products and sell them? And I'm sorry that I'm saying it so clearly like that, but that really is how this works. That is absolutely how this works. And so what happens is they've built these systems that are trying to understand what it is that you care about, what it is that you like, all right? And that's why if you do a search for something, then it seems to follow you everywhere across the internet, right? Has that ever like totally creeped you out? There's like a whole elaborate and it's, again, there's nothing mysterious about it. I can tell you, and you sit down sometime, and I'll tell you all about cookies and how super tracking cookies work, and I'll tell you why you really should use an ad block everywhere on the internet, but that's a separate discussion. The simple fact is that that's just how it works. And just to try to lighten this up a little bit, I'll tell you a hilarious story. There was some folks that were working at a small office. They were a startup. They didn't have a lot of money yet, so they weren't paying for the Google Apps account that allows you to remove the ads. So all the employees in the company, they all, of course, still saw ads next to their email because, of course, the way that Gmail works is it reads your email and then uses that to figure out the things that you're interested in and then shows you ads about that. So this group, there was this guy in there, and for whatever reason, every time he would go into the kitchen, you'd hear this yell from the kitchen, "Why is there never any spoons in the kitchen? Why is there never any spoons? Oh, I can't find spoons. What am I supposed to do to eat?" And he just kind of had this thing about spoons, and everybody would tease him a little bit. Then finally, everybody had an idea. Every time they'd send him an email in white text on a white background at the bottom of there, they'd put spoon, 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 spoon at the bottom of every single email he went. Within a day or two, everywhere on the internet, they were selling him spoons. And he was like, "What is happening? Everywhere the internet is selling me spoons." It's funny, right? But that's how this works, and that's actually the most rudimentary, most basic way that it does it. They've gotten these, and again, there's I emphasize this to let you know how tremendous amount of money is behind them getting this right, right? This isn't just something simple about, you know, keyword matching. They're actually trying to figure out, you know, where you're at in life and try to sell that entire demographic to people, your interests, everything. It is a huge, 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 massive, massive business. So think about that, and then here's what's happening. These systems that they have built that are trying to do everything they can to continue to keep you engaged with the platform, right? Facebook, they've actually, thankfully, started to back away from this, but there was internal metrics for a while at Facebook and other places about percent of screen time. In retail, it's called percent of cart, right? Does Fred Meyer have 100% of your shopping cart, meaning you do 100% of your shopping there, or do they split it between that and Trader Joe's and Costco? And the same thing would happen with an online scenario. So you would have situations where they don't want you going from Facebook to Instagram to whatever else. They want you doing everything on Facebook. This is why you saw the extension of videos and everything on Facebook. They don't want you going over to YouTube to watch videos. They want you to stay on Facebook and watch them there. And so the way that they do that, of course, is to keep you engaged with the platform. And to do that, they're going to continue to give you content that you like. And this is where the problem comes in, is that without even really realizing it, people are spending increasing amounts of their time in a system that is designed from the ground up to give you things that agree with you, that support your opinions, and that possibly even help you build on your opinions and your likes, and in the case of extremist views, will actually help to capitalize on that. So again, this is not that somebody set out to do this, and you can know this because a lot of the leadership of these companies and a lot of people that work at these companies are extremely left-leaning, but you find this happening both the right and the left of the content that's in these platforms. People spend a little bit of time on there, and they get exposed to a little bit extra content, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and suddenly you have these extremist views, crazy ideas that used to lurk in the far shadows of things and that would never really get any credibility. And now that's all you see when you're on a platform, because the platform is trying to keep you there and all the algorithms are simply giving you more and more of the same. And you combine that with the amount of money and the techniques that are around this, and it becomes a very, very effective way of spreading all kinds of stuff. Now, that's hard enough for us as adults to be able to figure out. You know, anytime you're online and something kind of mentally fires off and you're like, ah, yeah, it's that Nigerian prince email scam again. Delete. I don't need to click on that, right? Or you start, you know, looking at some memes and you're like, you're looking through and like, oh, that's funny. Oh, that's funny. Whoa, that's kind of extreme. Eh, whatever. Oh, that's funny. That's what's funny. Whoa, that's kind of extreme. Every time you do that, think about whether or not your kids have the ability to make that same distinction. And then maybe actually challenge yourself and figure out whether or not you are making the right distinction there or not. And if you do begin engaging with this stuff, you'll begin finding that it's this system. It's like a basic concept of a learning algorithm, is that you put some things in front of people that Amazon will do this with product recommendations. Facebook will do this with other concepts where you put things that just might be related in front of them. And this is all an algorithm that's doing this. And if you click on it and engage with it, you're basically telling the system, you're training the system, I like that. I'm interested in that. And so whatever interests you have are going to continue to be reinforced. The end result, I think there was a statistic, it was about a couple years ago, somebody said 60% of Americans say they get their news from social media. Now think about that. 60% of Americans say they get their news from a platform that is carefully engineered to only give you things you like. So what happens is that people spend precious little time with ideas that are not their own. They spend precious little time with ideas in opposition to their own. And what ends up happening is they just get a constant loop, a constant feedback loop of ongoing reinforcement, because they're never looking at anything that opposes it. Never. And that's a problem just for us generally. That's a reason to why to really limit your time on that platforms. But it's also a thing to really watch out with young people. And If you hand them your phone, then you're basically handing them an extension of whatever your interests are. So whatever are stored on your device for whatever things you've been tracking down and searching for, you're basically bringing them in directly into that world. And so that's another thing you need to figure out. If you're into something that isn't necessarily bad, but it's like you've been looking at some stuff, and you're like, well, I've had to really filter through some of this. You're handing all of that that context to them, and they're going to spend in it too. So I said all that. I said a lot more actually than what I was thinking. So that was interesting. But there is an article that my mother shared with me, and it was talking about the extremist views of some white supremacists and white nationalists. And again, I'm sharing this with you because, not because of that issue specifically, although that is a serious problem, but because the same sort of warning that they're talking about on here and the way that this information is spreading, there are people dealing with this in all kinds of facets of it, whether it's on the right or it's on the left, whether it's Christianity, whether it's good, upstanding Muslim American families that are finding their kids getting radicalized in various directions because of this. It's the same sort of a thing, and it's primarily happening in the social media. So listen to some of this. White nationalists and alt-right groups use jokes and memes as a way to normalize bigotry while still maintaining plausible deniability. And it works very well as a recruitment strategy for young people. The researcher saw this firsthand when she sat down with her kids to look at their Instagram accounts together. And I believe it was teenage kids. I saw the memes that came across my kids' timelines. And once I started clicking on those and seeking this material out, then it became clear what was really happening, she says. With each tap of a finger, the memes grew darker. Sexist and racist jokes, which, because we have a mix of group in here, I'm not going to read you the specifics in there. I'll send you the article if you'd like. It's bad. Led to more racist and dehumanizing propaganda, such as infographics falsely asserting various claims. The more I clicked, the more I started to see memes about white supremacy. You see that? The more I clicked, the more I started seeing memes. It's not because somebody engineered a system to do this. I promise you, the folks at Instagram did not wire up an evil system trying to put this in front of you. Nor do I think necessarily that the groups that are creating this have necessarily put together a concerted campaign, probably to some extent. But most of it is just, this is how these platforms work. This is just a product of how they are designed. And then they go on and they talk about how that has become an ongoing movement and an ongoing situation within a number of other different factions. So, again, this is the context that we're living in, and this is the reality. And again, I want to emphasize, these systems are not inherently evil, but because they have a way of amplifying fringe beliefs and ensuring that you always are exposed to ideas that you find interesting, then you can find yourself very quickly in an echo chamber. And it's just an amplification of your own extreme ideas. And this is why we all have to be extremely careful in these contexts. At a minimum, if you can, try to at least use an ad blocker. But also, just be very mindful of your own time on there. And my goodness, be careful with the kids. These platforms are trying to deal with that to some extent, to introduce kids modes or other things like that. I don't know that that's a reasonable fix. And so you just have to sort that out for yourselves, but just be mindful of that. All right? Hope that helped. Brother Heiner, see if you can save this. Or just keep digging.
Well. Or should I say, wow? Who's ready to have a bonfire? You know, I had no idea to the depth of knowledge that Brother Kendrick just spoke to. I just got a new phone fairly recently, and I know for you Apple users, you probably can't relate, but for droids, there's a news app where if you scroll right, it's just a feed of a bunch of news items, and it's a conglomerate from all over the place, all kinds of outlets and different things, just... it's a smorgasbord of information. It started as a very diverse thing, but I've noticed that it's becoming less and less diverse. It seems like now a third of all the articles are about Boeing airplanes. Now, how does that happen? About 60% is about hunting videos. Now, how does that happen? We need balance, that's been said. But most importantly, we need the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us. The Holy Ghost was given to us so that we wouldn't have to meander through this life on our own accord and figure it out as we go. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? That you can prove it. If your mind is not renewed, you won't have that ability. You won't be able to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In other words, if your mind is off somewhere else, being conformed to this world, then you're not going to be able to find the will of God for your life. You're not going to be able to find that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I've recently been learning a lot about a manufacturing process, and I forget the name of it all the time. But anyway, what most of our work in metals in my building and what we mostly do is just around machining. So you have a piece of material and you have a machine that drills it and cuts it and forms it into whatever you want that to be. It's a machined process. There's another process called a cast process where you pour really hot metals and molten material into a form or a mold, and then you break off the layers and you have this metal part of whatever you want it to be. But in this new process, it's forced through, this metal is heated up and forced through a die. And the end result is the form, or it takes the shape of whatever it was forced through. And so you have this die, and somehow you get this huge piece of metal to fit through this small orifice, and all of a sudden it takes the shape or the contour of the die it was forced through. When I read this scripture, that's what comes to my mind in being conformed. Be conformed not to this world. There's a lot of pressures around us. There's a lot of influences around us. There's a lot of things trying to press us, trying to conform us to exactly what the world is. It's a mold. And if we're not careful, we can become distracted and become pursuing, find ourselves pursuing these other things. But I feel a call of the Lord tonight to draw us back to a renewing of our mind. I need my mind to be restored. I need my mind to be renewed. The mind is a precious thing. It really is. When you begin to study people and lives and psychology and sociology and the things that can happen to people when they lose their mind. The mind is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But it's a terrible thing when you lose your faculties of it. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, we can find ourselves in a renewed state, in a renewed spirit, in a renewed mind. I need the mind of Christ. I have to have the mind of Christ. I can't come close to living for Him in this world without the Holy Ghost, without His mind being in me. Brother Johnson was talking about, and he uses this term frequently when he talks about his upbringing. He mentions the word backward a lot. You notice that? I grew up in a backward home. And I know exactly what he's talking about, but I have another term for that. I call it wholesome. I call it blessed. When you can, as a child and as a young person coming up, when you can be shielded from things that are not beneficial to you, and you can, with the love of parents, you can become guided through those early years, those early and shapeable, moldable years. When you can be guided through those years and perhaps saved from experiences that would harm you, experiences that would negatively shape your future. We should seek wholesomeness. I don't know if that's a word or not, but it is now. We should seek that. We should pursue those things of integrity, those things of purity. You don't see a whole lot of that today in our media or whatever you want to call it, this stuff. You don't have to search too far. But I long for those things, and especially now that I have young children. I've been seeking the Lord and asking Him to move us to the country. Now, obviously, He hasn't done that, but that's up to Him. But it's for the same reasons that Brother Johnstone talked about, that upbringing, and that I had that same upbringing. We grew up in the country and didn't have a whole lot of things to get into. It was just run around in the woods and be crazy boys and shoot stuff and hurt yourself, and that's just the way it was. I long for those things for my children. And as of yet, the Lord hasn't sought it fit to put us in that position. And that's His call. But I have to be willing to walk in the Spirit. I have to be in constant pursuit of His will. I have to be in constant renewal of mind. It only takes a second to get off track. I mean, you can be in the Spirit. You can be slaying devils. You can just be tearing things up spiritually. And then the silliest thing comes in, and man, now my mind's all wrapped up in all this stuff, and I got a fish hook in my nose. It happens so quick. You can get off topic, off focus so quickly, and you start to think, and where's my mind? I just had a renewed mind. Where'd it go? But it's a quick journey back to the cross. It doesn't take long to get there. We can find a place of submitting to the Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God that is so available, so quick and so easily accessible, if we'll just surrender ourselves and allow Him to renew us, to renew our minds. Let's stand tonight. Jesus, I thank You for Your love tonight, God. I thank You for Your word. Thank You for leading us, Jesus. Thank You for caring for us, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank You for Your knowledge and Your wisdom, Jesus. Hikalamando shikasata bahai. Let me not seek the wisdom of this world, God. Let my heart be content on Your knowledge and Your leading, Jesus, Your understanding. I need Your wisdom, Jesus. I need Your guidance in my life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lead us, I pray. Lead us by Your Spirit, God. Lead us by the renewing of our mind, I pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yours is the glory, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. You mind if I share a quick miracle that happened to me yesterday? You got time for that? It won't take long. You can stay standing. Or you can sit down. It's up to you. Yesterday, and I realized my wife just slipped out. Yesterday was my wife and I's 8th wedding anniversary. 8 years ago, we said, I do and I will and all that. And the miracle is she's put up with me for 8 years. So, anyway, to God be the glory. God bless you. Have a good night.